Support for this public radio podcast comes from KeyBank, focused knowledge, customized solutions, and the resources of an entire bank. Because the best solutions fit around a business's needs. More at key.com/corporate. And by BNY Mellon Wealth Management. Since 1784, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize wealth. Information at BNYMellonWealthManagement.com.
Waiting on the Fed.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Last time the Federal Reserve met, the Fed cut its key interest rate a half a point. Wall Street cheered, and the markets bounced back for a while. The Fed meets again today, and investors would love another rate cut, a half point again if possible. Realistically, they're thinking a quarter point. But is that what the Fed is thinking? Here's John Dimsdale.
Global Insight economist Brian Bethune says the U.S. economy is in better shape now than it was at the Fed's last meeting.
The best analogy I can think of is, well, the patient's fever has come down, but the fever has not gone away.
Bethune thinks the Fed will prescribe one more dose of rate cuts this week. David Malpass, the chief economist at Bear Stearns, agrees.
Complicating the Fed's job, the dollar's been weak. That adds to inflation. With gasoline going up and food going up, we'll be back at the 3.5% kind of inflation rate. And it's hard for the Fed to really be aggressive in its cuts in that kind of environment.
The Commerce Department will reveal the economy's growth rate just hours before the Fed's Wednesday announcement. Predictions are GDP grew at a healthy 3 to 3.5% clip, which should ease pressure on the Fed to reduce interest rates. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
So here's what we have with the stock markets at this hour. In Asia, stocks fell about 0.5% today. European shares are down a fraction so far. The Dow starts the morning at 13,870. It was up 63 points yesterday. The Nasdaq gained 13 to 2817, and the S&P 500 added 5 points to 1540. The national Do Not Call list went into effect 4 years ago. It was supposed to keep telemarketers from calling people on the list for 5 years, so you'd have to sign up again next year. But today, Congress gets a bill that might do away with that idea. Elisa Roth reports.
The new bill is called the Do Not Call Improvement Act of 2007. Under the new law, you wouldn't jump up from dinner to hear this.
This is Kathleen Riggio. I'm calling on behalf of Delta Airlines.
Even if you forgot to renew after 5 years, because it would make the Do Not Call registry permanent. Sally Greenberg directs the National Consumers League. She says there are 145 million phone numbers on the list already.
There really is no downside from the consumer point of view to continuing the successes of the Do Not Call list.
Even groups who might have reason to dislike the list, like telemarketers, don't have many complaints. Jerry Sirisale is with the Direct Marketing Association.
But we're trying to get some policies in there to improve accuracy of the list, because we think both businesses and consumers benefit from a more accurate list.
That means updating the list more often, so phone numbers that have been abandoned can be taken off more quickly. In New York, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
What's the worst product you can think of? How about sleeping pills targeting children? A watchdog group called Consumers International just came out with its list of the worst behavior by companies. Topping the list, Takeda Pharmaceuticals, which makes the sleeping pill Rosarum. The drug maker ran an ad reminding people it's back to school season. Mattel also made the list for making toys with too much lead in them. And Coca-Cola also got slammed for the way it markets Dasani water, which comes from the same reservoirs as tap water.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by BNY Mellon Wealth Management. Since 1784, helping successful individuals and families protect and maximize wealth. BNYMellonWealthManagement.com. By Grant Thornton, dedicated to serving their clients worldwide with a passion for the business of accounting. On the web at GrantThornton.com. And by A.G. Edwards, caring for nest eggs for more than 120 years, with a commitment to provide objective financial advice.
For certain businesses, this is the best week of the year. Costume shops, pumpkin patches, candy stores, perhaps. And then there's the haunted house industry. Haunted houses aren't cheap to operate, but they can pay off big time. Randy Bates has a farm in rural Pennsylvania, but his haunted house, the Bates Motel, brings in more money than his crops. Is that true, Randy?
Well, we have a very small farm. It's only about 80 acres. If you want to make a living at row crop farming, you know, raising corn and wheat, things like that, you only make about a couple $100 an acre. So you need to come up with, you know, a unique and alternate way of farming, and that's what we've done.
At a haunted house.
A haunted hayride, a haunted barn, and a haunted corn maze. My township has actually passed an ordinance stating that these types of activities are, in fact, agriculture and can be by right used on farms.
Really? Mm-hmm. How much do you have to pour into this venture to make money?
We pour in hundreds of thousands of dollars every year to try and upgrade it, buy new props, new equipment. We've got about 180 employees. About half of them are actors. The other half are support staff.
So what kind of scary things do you have?
We have a wide range of different types of scares. Extremely large mechanical monsters. I've got one that's he's almost like a gargoyle, fully animatronic. He stands up to about 18 feet tall and has a 1,000-watt roar. But we also use a lot of high startle features. I've got one scene in my haunted house. They walk into it looks like a dining room set, and you see a young actress sitting at a table, and the china closet behind you splits open in the middle, and the actor comes out. So very high startle.
Yeah, I can imagine that would be scary. But do you find that people get used to certain scary things and that you have to change to keep up with that?
Oh, absolutely. It's critical that you change your attraction every year, and that's why we put so much money back into it. I like to play on my past customers, where they walk coming through a trail and they might say, hey, watch, this guy's going to jump out from over on the right here. Maybe the next year you take that and change that to having that person jump out on the left or even come down from overhead.
So. All right, Randy Bates, owner of the Bates Motel and Haunted Hayride. Thanks for joining us.
You're welcome.
In Los Angeles, I'm Scott J. Gow. Thanks for listening and happy Halloween.
American Public Media.